State Farm has been going through these changes for a number of years. It's not a matter of saying that we're starting or stopping. Over the past year in Bloomington, we had some restructures and some changes with some major departments that had some local impacts. Those are beginning to take effect as we go into 2019. But I would say that long term, as we look at Bloomington and we look at the country, we will continue to change and adapt as the customers' needs do and the marketplace demands.
The scope of the changes in Bloomington has been notable and has aroused both public attention and internal employee concern. Is the scope of that change in Bloomington Normal going to continue?
The changes that you reference and the note, we can't diminish the impacts to individuals and families and friends, and I think that's what we heard in Bloomington. But as we go into 2019, the workforce numbers have consistently been around 15,000 for the past few years. Those are going to continue. The workforce numbers have remained stable. That is the distribution of the workforce between the paraprofessional, the professional, and management are the same, with very little changes.
Let's talk about number of jobs in, number of jobs out. Assess the total picture in some metrics, would you?
We have moved employees in and out of Bloomington for a number of decades. When we had the regional office structure, at one point in time at the max, there were 28 different regional offices, and that's hundreds of offices and buildings around the country. We moved to the zone structure in 2000. Those number of buildings began to decrease, but we continued to move people in and out, and we've done it as we've gone to an enterprise-led structure. There's a misperception that the hubs were constructed to replace corporate headquarters and move folks from here to there, and that's incorrect. The reason the hubs were created was to tap into a different talent market and to bring large numbers of employees together. And so a number of those employees came from offices around the country. We've recently, within the past 2 years, announced that we're going to exit 13 of our large operation centers. And a number of those employees can compete for and go to the jobs in the hubs. So we continue to move people in and out through the career process to the hubs, just as we did in offices before. They, in relationship to size, our size has remained, as I said, relatively the same. Richardson is half the size of the corporate workforce, and each Arizona, the facility there and the one in Atlanta, is less than half the size of corporate.
So numbers in and out of Bloomington Normal.
I don't have those numbers. We don't track those. It fluctuates day in and day out.
You have been keeping track of the number of units who've been doing this reassessment and giving people hard news or good news depending on how they stack up and the needs of the company stack up, though. So you surely must have some sort of idea of the velocity of this year.
When you mention the velocity, I look at the total numbers. We look at the total numbers, and it going through 2018 and 2019 is going to remain around 15,000. The distribution of employees has remained the same. The average salary in all levels has increased.
And by how much?
It varies across. It varies across the job levels.
When you say the average salary has increased, what are you talking about there?
The average salary, the percentage has increased for all levels, paraprofessional, the professionals, and for management. There's been an increase.
By other measurements, aggregates, how do you want to slice that?
The slice it is the percentage of increase. So it varies at different levels, but it has increased across the board.
Do you have an aggregate, say the average payroll in Bloomington Normal has increased by X dollars or not?
No, I don't have that.
There's also, in addition to the overall number of people, there's a perception in the community that the top-level talent, the executive-level talent, may be diluted as part of this process, and that more of those folks will be in hubs than was the case. Can you address that?
For executives that are located here in Bloomington, we have executives located all around the country, but the number of executives in Bloomington, obviously the CEO and the C-suite is here, but for the total number, it has remained consistent for the past 8 years. The hubs aren't replacing corporate. That was not the intention. They're part of, there's 45,000 employees located outside of Bloomington. Those 45,000 used to be across hundreds of offices. And now that number of offices have decreased, and three of them are now much larger. We did that to tap a talent pool and attract portions of the workforce. We also did it because of the efficiencies of putting numbers of employees together, and that has impacted the business positively. But State Farm's corporate headquarters remains in Bloomington.
Let me circle back to something you said earlier about the overall rate of pay across all sectors and all divisions in Bloomington Normal increasing. Is it a matter of it increasing more than a usual cost of living increase, or that you would say, okay, these changes to increase efficiencies and performance in the company are because we're finding better people and paying them better and concentrating our efforts on the producers? Or is it what normal business growth would suggest would happen with cost of living increases?
It's the jobs themselves. To remain competitive, we take a look at the salary ranges for jobs, and we will make adjustments to align ourselves with the marketplace. It is performance raises in combination with that, and you put all those together, and that lifts the salary base.
Is it above, significantly above cost of living, the salary base, because you're having to adjust to the industry as a whole, or is it? I'm trying to get to a matter of scale here, and I understand you may not have precise numbers, or may not want to part with them for proprietary reasons, but go as far as you can, please.
It aligns with an increase across the board because of the jobs themselves and how those jobs price in the marketplace, but also performance evaluations as they go. We invest in employees. We want to attract and retain talent, and we compensate and provide benefits accordingly to do that. And that's for us to also remain competitive and attract that talent in the market.
Organizationally, big tech changes, market condition shifts, those prompt big adjustments to a lot of big business sectors and industries. Is the insurance industry collectively largely done with a big adjustment, or would you characterize what's happening here as an ongoing incremental adjustment that just looms large because it's concentrated in Bloomington Normal?
I think it's continual. I think for the insurance industry, the changes continue. I don't think there's a start and a stop. I think the changes that we've done from a technology standpoint, adapting to the marketplace, when you look at the customer needs, I think it's across all industries, and it's the impact to the changes outside. I don't think anybody can if we think about historically any industry. Across the country, there are skeletons of businesses that didn't change. They changed too late, or they made the wrong changes. And when those happened, those had at times impacts on the communities where they were, some more than others. So when we look at it, it's not a matter of start and stop. And I think with insurance, if you look at competitors, folks are entering the industry that haven't been in the industry before, and so the competitive landscape changes. I think we all have to react to that, and that's impacted State Farm here in Bloomington, but also all our other offices. The moves we made around the country to locations, the workforce, and the jobs was in reaction to those changes.
Contrast State Farm's approach to those changes, moving to hubs and away from regional offices and zone offices, to other insurance company efforts to do the same sort of reinvention?
I don't have knowledge of how each one of those competitors have changed. We have a distribution system that has primarily been based around the State Farm agent, and now as we've gone forward through some of these changes, it is a mixture. The consumer needs are, at times they want to work with a State Farm agent, and at times they would like to do self-service. So our changes have allowed for an intermixture of that distribution system with a continual focus on the agent.
Since State Farm has a significant market share, it is probably a safe assumption to say that their customers are similar to other insurance company customers in their desires. If they really want to get service in whenever, wherever, however they want, whether it's online or through an agent or through an 800 number, how is this affecting the overall bottom line of the insurance industry and the overall infrastructure that companies have to put in place to stack up against the premium dollar, the administrative cost per premium dollar?
In the marketplace, one of the primary drivers of the choices for insurance companies is price. And so in speaking with State Farm, what we're doing is looking at more efficiencies and taking cost and expense out of the operation to compete more competitively on price. This past year, we've reduced rates all around the country. We did it in Illinois. That took Illinois. That's $65 million less in cost to the consumer. And that's where they look. And then at the time of service, it is how you respond to a claim. It is based on that customer demand. There are customers that want to talk to an agent to report a claim, and there are customers that would prefer to do that online. We don't want to limit ourselves to a customer base that just wants face-to-face contact or a customer base that wants to just do it online. We want to provide that across the board.
Industry-wide, how much is that increasing the overhead, though, if you have to have all these platforms rather than just pick one?
I don't have that information industry-wide. Okay. For a percentage.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Joe Strupek of State Farm Insurance is our guest today. We're talking about the year in State Farm and trying to assess how things have shaken out in State Farm's reorganization, reprioritization over that year. Over the course of the year, there was buzz about several hundred people here, several hundred people there, people in this unit really worrying, people waiting for the shoe to drop in that unit about who would be severed and who would be asked to go somewhere else. Are we going to see the same sort of concentration on Bloomington Normal as the largest single collection of State Farm workers in the coming year? Is the pace of change going to remain the same?
What happened over the past year was focused on a number of departments that did it at the same time. When that happens, there are individuals, families who are impacted, coworkers. Those changes were concentrated in 2018. We don't see that concentration of changes going into 2019. The buzz, and we can't diminish that. Those are individual stories of impacts to people, and you can't diminish that. It's individuals, it's families, and we understand that there are impacts economically to individual businesses, but collectively, as we look at McLean County, we look at Bloomington, and we look at Normal, we have remained relatively the same through the year and going into 2019.
How do you try to address the buzz? How do you try to reassure people that things aren't exactly chicken littling here?
We talk to employees. We explain the changes, and it's a repetitive process. When people are impacted, there is an emotional reaction, and we can't downplay that, and we help them as much as we can understand the direction that we're going in the organization, the changes we're making, and why we're making those changes.
Have you seen the skittishness reduce? Have you seen your reassurances take hold, or are people still pretty unsettled?
Yes. There is less buzz internally within State Farm, and there is less buzz externally. I think that you and I have talked, and I appreciate the invitation here today. And one of the reasons why I'm here today is I think that we can always improve as we talk both inside and outside to explain what these changes are and what the overall impacts are.
Well, let's talk about some of the impacts to the company. Change and reassessment is often good for an organization if it's done well. What are you seeing so far in meaningful metrics improving State Farm's ability to serve customers, as you said, wherever and whenever they want it? How are you measuring that in ways that, of course, don't violate proprietary considerations?
We report externally on an annual basis, and we'll do that again in February. But the trends that we're seeing as we go through the year is an increase in net worth. Our growth as we go through these changes is begin to move in a positive direction. We're seeing a positive impact in expenses so that we are able to make investments in other areas. We made an announcement recently, a $100 million venture operation that will look at investing in new products and services, possibly even outside the insurance industry. Those are the type of things that we're able to focus on and do. But from a metrics, we're seeing positive changes.
Tell our listeners about that investment, would you?
We're looking at how we could better serve the customer and be more competitive. So taking a look at quite possibly are there startups and other organizations that we can work with for new products, or even looking at technology and help us serve and be more competitive.
This is Sound Ideas. Joe Strupek of State Farm Insurance is our guest. We're summing up the year in change at the company headquarters in Bloomington Normal. It used to be that with the mothership being the unchallenged center for State Farm, the talent pool here was very deep. Now, that had some benefits for the community in a lot of ways. Among them, the people involved in creating community, serving on boards, councils, volunteering, fundraising, participating in cultural arts. With the hubs now taking up a significant share of talented people, can the company do anything to encourage extra involvement of its workforce in community in Bloomington Normal to offset some of that shift out?
As it relates to philanthropy and community work, today as we talk, we're just a day out from a broadcast yesterday that we did with the entire workforce, a live broadcast. It's the end of the year around the CEO. And the focus of that was State Farm's philanthropic and community efforts across the country. That's Bloomington and the hubs and the other locations that we have. And through multiple programs, the matching gift program that we have where for a qualified tax deductible gift, State Farm will match up to $1,500, up to $3,000 for an educational institute. We have the Good Neighbor Grant program where employees will volunteer 40 hours to an organization and we will give $500 to that organization. That has remained consistent across the company, the participation. We've seen increases in giving with the matching gift. It is not something that is that we take lightly. You have 19,000 State Farm agents that are engaged in the community. Yesterday, in addition to the nonprofits in what would be the hub cities and also Bloomington, we highlighted our participation in places like Winter Haven, Florida, and DuPont, Washington. People in the employees in Bloomington continue to serve on boards. We're seeing a similar participation dollar-wise and volunteer-wise in groups as with the Good Neighbor Grants and the matching gifts. And we continue to promote that. We have employees that sit on both the Bloomington and Normal Town Councils. There are employees that continue to participate in the boards of Unit 5 and District 87. So we continue to promote that. We have not seen, from our perspective, a difference. We don't track by individual that participation, but I think there's a very strong connection between the workforce here in Bloomington and the nonprofits and the community.
The theory is that that connection is going to be eroded by the hub system, that the change company structure creates a different dynamic for community involvement from the way things used to be done. It used to be send them out to a regional for a few years, bring them back when they're promotable, back out, back here, rinse and repeat till career peak. And they would form ties here at each iteration of their employment within Bloomington Normal, and they would pick up those ties when they came back. If they're not coming back, why get involved? Why view this place as home and a place to be involved? And sometimes this isn't their end destination. If they want to be in a hub, they're going to want to stay in a hub, and they're going to develop ties there and involvements there. Will they be less inclined to get involved in Bloomington Normal along the way to their career goals?
They're still coming back, and that that Bloomington to the hubs or other locations in the country, that will continue. The hubs weren't designed to be a final destination for State Farm employees. And to not have talent housed here. So instead of somebody moving from Bloomington to a regional office and back again and back to another regional office and back, you will see, and we have had experience where somebody goes to a hub and they come back to Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
They go to another hub and they come back to Bloomington. So it's remaining the same.
Mayor Chris Cousteau of Normal said recently on our air that he doesn't think that the transfers in and out are as numerous as they used to be, that the pace of that, the velocity, if you will, has slowed compared to 15 years ago. And certainly the realty market would support that, although that's a cloudy tool because there are other factors affecting the realty market. So what's your take on and your assessment of how much transfer period is compared to what it was 10 years ago?
We don't track the velocity. I would not be able to speak to the increase or decrease in activity, and that would go that would fluctuate based on at the time what the needs were, where somebody needed to be, the talent alignment. But that will continue. Even though there may be less going in and out, our footprint here and our relationship with the community is relatively the same, and that includes that includes all level. And we continue to encourage folks to be involved in the community.
You're listening to Bloomington Normal's only locally owned and operated broadcast media outlet. I'm Charlie Schlinker. With us is Joe Strupik of State Farm Insurance. Let's talk about the downtown building in Bloomington. Prospects, nibbles, where are you on trying to unload that landmark?
We're continuing to market. We continue to have interest, and we're still in that process.
What's the company's goal for it now that the initial marketing period has shaken out? Are you still looking for a single buyer or a consortium? How much are you willing to look for multiple buyers rather than one to get a sale? What's your process?
We're looking at all the options. We haven't limited to any particular individual or consortium. We're marketing the building, and we are open to consideration of any option.
How many nibbles have you had?
That I can't share.
So are you close to changing your intentions about going to a different disposition of that building or giving it away? Or
we're still looking at the sale of the building, and we're still talking to buyers about that.
The city has said it would really like to help with this. Have you involved them? What is their ability to facilitate a sale?
We have had conversations with the city all along through the process, and have talked to them, and are looking at all options for the disposition of the building.
And how can they help?
Specifically, we're having conversations with them on all of that, and that's a conversation between us and the city.